This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And, of course, we have a great show dealing today with metaphysics and spirituality and sciences and other issues of, I think, general interest. And I would like today to kind of focus in on spiritually winning back the planet. Of course, you have to understand what the heck does it mean to spiritually win back something like a planet. And why is it we have to win it back? Don't we have it already? Kind of thing. And I'm going to give you some ideas and thoughts. And this, I'm not even going to give you exact numbers today. I'm going to let everybody who would like to kind of do some math in their heads or sit down with like an atlas or something. That would be kind of interesting. And do a little figuring because I'm going to give you some ideas. Now, if you want to call in, you can. And if you're listening to my voice, you must be on the website that has the numbers that you can call in on. So I don't have to say them anymore on the air, which is very good. I like that. Okay, so what do I mean by spiritually winning back the planet? Well, what I'm suggesting here is we're kind of losing Earth, the planet we live on. And we're doing so because darkness is spreading to some extent. Due to basically changes in focus of ray energies and senses in living things, and all that stuff I've covered many times before, but all of this together has brought on a series of crises that we're facing at the present time, and in the next few years they may intensify and become significantly worse. But I'm going to suggest some things we can do to make some changes about that. And I'm also going to give you some ideas of how bad things are so that you can figure them out for yourself. Again, I'm not going to give you the exact ways. I would like you to do some thinking on your own, if you don't mind. So to begin with, let me tell you this, that a planet is lost when approximately one-fourth of the people, us, human beings, have turned to the dark side, and by many definitions, would be considered to be either following evil or evil themselves. Now, that's pretty far away from where we are, by the way, at the present time. A lot of people are going to say, oh, yeah, things are much worse than that, aren't they? No, they aren't even near that bad yet. But to spiritually win back, we better start doing something about the way things are, or else it'll be too late, because this is not a process that you just wave your hands or wand or something and suddenly magically it's going to change around. How do we know when a planet is being controlled by evil to the amount of 25% or more? How about counting? I like counting. I like numbers and math because that's scientific. And the way we can do that is the following. When people have a significant amount, again, we're going to use about the 25% level, of their, we'll say, liberties infringed upon by an outside, we'll call it dark force. Usually it's called government, but sometimes it might be called religion. Sometimes it might be called something else. But when that takes place, the population or people that are so being influenced are then under the dark control of others. And the others would be considered evil, by the way. But not everybody who's under this control or evil don't even come to thought of that, because that isn't what I'm trying to infer. But they could easily become evil over time, because once the evil ones control large groups, they start literally eating away their very, we'll call it, spirit and souls. Okay, so I hope you're following these numbers. All right, so if we were to go across the map of the world, and particularly if we had an atlas, and we knew the number of the population of the world, let's say right now it's 6.75 billion people. Sounds like an interesting number. 6¾ billion people. Let's just say it is. I don't know. I mean, you know, nobody has census numbers that are so accurate that we could get it down to even probably within 10 million or even maybe 100 million people. But still, it's a, you know, it's in that ballpark. And so that's our whole number. That's our big number, okay? And then we say, okay, let's start counting up nations, countries, and look at them and see if about a quarter or more of the liberties, not about liberties, I'm talking about just like our own Declaration of Independence, you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the right to have and hold property without, you know, someone coming in and saying, that's mine, goodbye, and that sort of stuff. If those things are intact, at least to 75% of the time, then we would not pick that country as being dark or a country that is being influenced predominantly by evil. But if those numbers are not intact, and instead we have a process where the majority of the people are being affected by over a quarter of the time in limiting their liberties, then that country would be listed as the dark one. It would be in our list of dark countries, and we would take the numbers of people that live there and subtract them from our 6.75 billion people. You see? I'm not going to do the math for you. You got to do it for yourself. And maybe you can get together with a group of people and talk to them about this, because, you know, and maybe you can all listen to the show again, because you can do that. And then you can figure out on your own where we're at, you know, as far as the world is concerned. And remember that just because a country proclaims that it is the democratic, whatever, it is not about what they say, but how they function and live. That counts. Okay. And so that's the way that you come up with your number. Where do I think we're at right now? Well, we're more than halfway to the dark side. But you're going to come up with the real numbers. My opinion is we're more than halfway to the dark side. So if we were to take a quarter of the 6.75 billion, it's close, getting close to like 1.8, something like that. It's getting close to that number of people. Would be the people that would be necessary to be controlled by others who are evil, and who are destroying what I would consider to be spirituality on our planet. Now, this is important to see that I'm suggesting that we're beyond the halfway point, that more than, not a quarter, but I guess we would call it an eighth, of the people on the planet are presently living in these conditions, more than. So it's over, in my opinion, it's over a billion people in the world are presently controlled by this kind of thinking. Now, how do I say that this is almost a certainty? Well, there's one country that comes to mind that virtually takes the prize right off the bat, and that is what we call, it used to be called Communist Red China, but I guess they have a new vernacular. They're the Democratic Republic of China, which, of course, is kind of a contradiction in terms, because there's no democracy there. And they, the only republic that exists is the representation. Republic means representation. It comes from the word to represent. And the only republic that is actually existing is the representations of the despots who seek power and control over the rest of the people in China. So that takes care of well over a billion people right off the bat. And so we're definitely moving in that direction. You can see why I don't really have to do any kind of head count. It gets kind of scary when you start looking at these big countries, particularly. What about the smaller countries like North Korea, Iran, countries that have like less than 100 million people? They're definitely on the road to bad times. They're already down the road. And I shouldn't say they're on the road. They've already gone down it, and they're moving quickly in the wrong way. And what about Myanmar? And, you know, it was used to be Burma, but they prefer a different name. And, you know, all of these countries that seem to be destroying the rights of people and subjecting them to terrible conditions and et cetera. Those countries all add into the number. And the same in our hemisphere. If you live in the Western Hemisphere and you're somewhere in North or South America, then, you know, obviously we've got things going not so great in Venezuela these days. Obviously, Cuba is not a great place to be. And there are many other places like that. Now, does that mean that all the people there are in some way, you know, really dark? No. It means they're being subjected by darkness. But over time, generations of time, they can be made dark. And the danger is that the planet will fail because of that. So do understand, and we're talking about tens, if not 100 or more years, but still a very dangerous scenario is facing us. There are technologically things that are scary about the way our world functions now. And it's, you can't just say, well, I'm across an ocean or I'm over here and you're over there, so I'm not worried, because there's no place you can run and hide. I mean, they can get you from outer space in 22 minutes from any place in the world. So, I mean, you know, there's just nothing you can do to really stay out of the storm that is headed our way. Okay, so is everybody on that page with me now? I hope that I defined this, and I'm not going into intricate detail. I'm just trying to give you broad brushes of what our problems are. And the tyrannical and severe nature of these places are significant. And they're impinging on even places like the United States. Everybody thinks, oh, well, we're all free and we have great things. Well, the fact of the matter is that there's no such place. Freedom can't exist in one place on a planet if it's being removed in another. It's only a matter of time. Just remember that. It's only a matter of time. It's not a matter of, gee, I live here, so I'm safe. You're not safe. Because we're all for one and one for all in a true sense. Not in a communist sense, where everybody is level to a minimalist factor, but in a true independent of mind and spirit sense, we all have to be concerned about those that live under subjection and destruction. Okay, so how do we win back the planet? I mean, we've got some serious things. Obviously, if what I'm saying is right, and if you disagree, go ahead and call me because we can talk about it. But, you know, this is a how do we make a change in a place where things seem to be really not going necessarily in the right direction? I mean, there has been an improvement if you were to compare the world to, say, 200 years ago. But the improvement has odd and quirky, we'll call it, side effects. The improvement has been, obviously, there actually are more democracies today and more areas where the free will of people exists than really existed 200 years ago. But here's the rub, that there's a counter effect that most people are unaware of. And the counter effect is that there is a much greater unity in the world with homogenization of people's values and people's freedoms by their becoming this, we'll call it globalization, but not globalization in any positive term, so that the effects of darkness are more prevalent in places where there are light than ever before. It's a weird thing, isn't it? And if you think about what I'm saying, I think it becomes pretty obviously true. And propaganda is an excellent issue. It used to be it was difficult for a nation to propagandize its darkness to peoples living on the other side of the globe. They could do it to those who were under their subjective rule within their country. They had a much harder time doing it to people who live 10,000 miles away. Today, that's not true. And so, and in propaganda is one of the ways that evil on Earth, particularly, is most effective and successful in spreading itself. It spreads lies. And every government that participates in the spreading of lies is spreading darkness. It's happening right here in this country, the U.S., but it's happening everywhere. And it's happening from other countries imposing upon us their ideas and thoughts, which may be dark. But it's also happening within our country from those who are seeking to use these same methods to gain power and control. Okay, so it's a very big issue. How do we win back our planet from everything I suggested that seemingly is taking place? And the first thing is to become aware, which I guess what the show is about, right? I hope you're becoming aware. It's either that or I'm talking to myself. And becoming aware is noticing the changes from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Is there more propaganda? Does there seem to be a, we'll say, a weakening or a collapsing of the truth when you try to get information, either from news outlets or from other places? Is there a suggestion in the way that our present system is that the superficial is what counts and the dramatic and sensational is what people are interested in rather than the substantive and the truth? So these are things that are very, very critical. And one of the first ways to win back spiritually the problems that we are facing at this very moment, since most of it deals with what is known as communication darkness because of the third ray issues, is to listen to, speak, promote, and maybe become a voice of truth in every way that can be found. Now, truth can be somewhat subjective, but it still behooves those who are trying to spiritually develop themselves and the world around them to do what I said, even if they in their own minds, and they should, be humble and think there's a possibility they're not always right. That's fine. They may even be wrong when faced with contradiction. That's fine. But they still speak what they believe to be the truth, and they fight for the rights of others to do the same. That's more important than speaking the truth itself, as coming from a specific individual. Try to promote others to have the right to express themselves without being infringed upon, stepped upon, beaten down, restricted through ridicule or obscurity or prevented from speaking like even as I am right now, because there could be others who would like to shut this station down or shut me down. I don't know. And so fight for those kinds of rights, because those are the ones that are going to go first and be the most difficult to recover once they're gone. If you look at the countries that are dark, you go to your atlas, you're going to find that the things that were lost first are the things I'm talking about. There can't be a spiritual world in which there is a world lacking truth, in which there is a world lacking thought that has wisdom and love in it. There can't be a world of light in which the very aspect of God's own mind, which has both inclusiveness and love, but as its first premise, freedom and will and the right to be independent and the right to be creative in ways that are unique and special for each person. Sounds like the U.S. Declaration of Independence, doesn't it? Yeah, doesn't it? So in a way, this is sort of the spiritual Declaration of Independence that I'm speaking about. And if we all fight for this, and we don't let others prevent it from happening, it is the most important thing that could be done at the very moment. Do it wherever you are. If you're in a country that is presently really impinging on this very concept, then you're in great danger, both in a personal but as well as in a group and political sense. And spiritually, you have the most responsibility to find some way to get the truth out to all those who can hear your truth, but also to protect others, even if they're saying truths that you don't think are true, to get, at least allow them the right to say it, allow them the right to do it. Now you can say, well, what if they're saying evil, terrible things? It's about all that propaganda you're talking about. Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is that one of the contradictions in propaganda is that you can't stop it by invoking some type of censorship. Rather, the best thing to do is to promote opposing ideas and allow all others to have their say. Because on a collective basis, in the world today, those who have a closeness to their souls, a true spiritual connection, will be able to discern the difference. And that's the most important thing. Don't worry about the other side. Don't worry about those who are going to say outrageous things. As long as enough are saying the truth, the outrageous ones will be silenced by their own ridiculousness and their contradictions. So that's what I suggest to those of you who might be tempted to go radically in the opposite direction and want to censor people who they think are dark and evil. Don't do it, because you'll become dark and evil. You can't follow that path and succeed at it. It will fail you, and you will fail. Okay, so the first part of this is getting to the truth and making sure that others have the right to do so as well, or at least the right to express themselves in ways that they believe are true. Okay? Then what else can we do to spiritually win back the planet? I mean, obviously those are really nice things that I said, but they're kind of platitudes to some people. And until you roll up your sleeves and really get your hands dirty, it's not going to make much difference. So you got to really kind of get with the program, get with people, and start doing something now. Okay, we can't really wait any longer. What else? What other ways are there to spiritually win back our planet? Well, one thing each of us can do is to be judicious, if we live in a democracy, about how we exercise our right to vote, and to recognize that on an individual basis, a single vote may not matter, but it's like the truth. If you collectively vote with many others along a way that is against the darkness, if you're still able to be free in your voting, then you have an opportunity to make a change. Some of you that are listening to me can't do that any longer, and others can't even hear my voice because of it. So it's very important to realize that we must take count now, or we will lose those rights too. We'll wake up one day and our vote won't count. That would be a bad thing. So be careful about exercising it early and now, rather than waiting several years when it may not make a difference and it'll be too late. What other things can be done besides those who have a democracy that somewhat protects them? Well, another area that is important is to form groups of people who are aware enough to seek God. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm talking about spiritually people who are seeking their Creator and want to express that through their lives. Try to find people who are doing that, because those are the people who are going to be the movers and shakers. Those are the people who will heed what I'm saying in this show. Those are the people who will become an alliance, a real strength against the coming increasing darkness. Those people will come up with many more ideas than I could ever present in this show to prevent the planet from going further dark. Because this is not a process of cookie cutter. Do this, do that, and you'll win. I don't want you to think that at all. That's the reason I started the show as I did, and I said you're going to have to figure some of this out for yourself. This is a process of learning how to be creative with others to spiritually win back the planet, not to follow, not to do just what someone writes in a book or what I or someone else might say on the radio. It's about really working together to come up with new and better solutions for all of the present problems. Every freedom that is removed is an insult against our Creator. Freedom is the first part of our Creator's own thought. Without it, it is a move towards darkness, no matter what else is stated as the motive for doing so. Remember that. That's a very important thing. When you get together with the people who are spiritual, by your own definition, not mine, it can be religious or it could not be religious. It doesn't matter. It's about God, and God is something that is bigger than any religion. So religions are really constructs of how to worship God in a certain way, but they didn't create God. They may think they have. They didn't. Okay, God created us. Yeah, most people get that one. So we have an opportunity, if we get together collectively, to start making changes. Now, could that also be a political party or a political? Yeah, it could be whatever you choose it to be. If you would rather it be something like, well, let's find some way to generate either income or resources for others who want to exercise their freedoms in some way, that's fine. That's sort of a philanthropic kind of exercise. You know? And that's good, because each has its place. There are kind of like different expressions, you know, along different ray focuses of how to achieve what I'm trying to explain. And I'd like to consider that. Anyway, we're out of time for this particular segment. We're going to go to a break for a couple of minutes. When we come back, I'll tell you a lot more about how we can spiritually win back the planet.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We are back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we're talking about spiritually winning back the planet. Hopefully you've heard the first half of the show, and I want to make mention, because I sometimes forget, that if you haven't had a chance, you should go to the website foreveryoungproducts.com and check out resveratrol. I have been using it myself. I have been recommending it to a number of other people, and I find that it works. When I say works, it makes people who are in the, we'll say, older age group, I don't know what that exactly is, like over 40 for sure, younger. It really does. And I'm not kidding you about that. There's so many different ways that I don't want to get into all that tonight, but I would like you to give it some thought. A lot of other stuff that says it has resveratrol in it, it's just worthless. I've tried it, it doesn't work. This stuff, you use it, it really works. Now, if you want to be younger, this is the way to give it a shot. And younger is, to my way of thinking, okay, provided that you're using the time, that extra time you have, to do something that is spiritually great, which is what we're talking about tonight. Okay, so the amount of time we have is somewhat dependent upon how we use our time. We talked about karma in the last couple of weeks and other things. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of people say, well, how long am I going to live? I actually get that question posed to me more frequently than you might expect. But, you know, my answer is, as long as you have your purpose here being demonstrated through your existence, through your life. You might say, but I don't know what my purpose is. Well, if you don't know what your purpose is, you're not doing enough of it. I'm going to repeat that. If you don't know what your purpose is in being here, it's because you're not doing enough of it. So that's the first thing you need to know about. So if you want to spiritually win back the planet, you need to know what it is you're here to do. And you have to do more if you don't understand what that is. Not less. More. And you might say, well, more of what? Well, it's going to be more of something that involves co-creation with our Creator, more of something that brings more light into the world, more of something that isn't focused on yourself personally, guaranteed, and more of something that helps others to do the same. It's going to be all of those things for sure. Now, they may not give you the exact answer you're looking for, but then again, it proves that we're all individual and unique, because I can't give you one answer that will fit everybody. I couldn't even give you an answer that might fit any two people. So the point is that you really will gain the understanding of who and what you're here to do if you put out yourself more. So one of the ways that you can spiritually win back the planet is to focus less on yourself and more on serving others in a soul-like way. When I'm talking about soul service, spiritually serving others, doesn't mean giving to others what they desire or want, but rather giving to others what you find is the most helpful to help them to become giving themselves to others in the same way. In other words, giving to others so that they can become more giving. An endless process of paying it forward. I like that. And that's part of winning back the planet. If enough people do that, and it isn't a large number, but if enough people do that, a significant number, but not a large number, the planet will change in itself. It can be only a few percent can make that much of a change in the world because it's very effective. A small amount of people can make a big amount of change in doing exactly what I'm describing. And that kind of is neat because we have so much darkness around us. We need all of the power and methods that only a few can do against this terrible, we'll call it, onslaught of darkness. And one of the ways is not being self-focused, living your life in a way that is focused outward in service to others. Do that, and you'll make a major dent in the dark problem. And we need to do it now. We need to do it as soon as possible. For those of you who are interested, give me a call. Call the people that I work with in a spiritual group. Find out what we're doing. Work with us. Seriously. I'm not kidding you. A lot of people say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I know you guys are doing all kinds of special things and everything. But I'm not like that. I don't have the... But you are. You can. We need you. Seriously. And we want you to co-serve with us and anyone else that you can and are willing to. And this is one big way we can spiritually win back the planet. And it's so important now because our time is limited. When people ask me, how long are we going to be here for? Well, we're going to be here for as long as we are doing what we're here to do. But when those opportunities vanish, so will we. The people who are most spiritual will vanish from this planet. They'll go elsewhere. When the planet is hopeless, when it no longer has the opportunities available to those who are seeking to truly live a purposefully creative or co-creative life with God. So once that opportunity is gone, a lot of us will also be. And it's not because we're going to be punished through quote-unquote death. Death is freedom from a tyranny if a planet goes dark. Remember that. I'm not suggesting anybody take their life or, you know, wait for the comic, whatever it is, Bob or whatever, to take them away. That's all craziness, of course. Nobody should ever consider that. I'm just saying that as a result of a planet going dark, of natural consequences, those who are most spiritual will most likely end up leaving. Because their opportunity to co-create is gone. Their life will become wasted one after another in a world of such darkness. Of course, that world could also end up just being destroyed. All you need is one rock coming from outer space, and not a very big one, just traveling at a fast speed, and it's bye-bye. There's many other things that can happen, of course. But what I'm trying to explain is that usually, when a planet really goes off the deep end, it's not allowed to continue very long in that vein. It will be, one way or another, eliminated. Unfortunately, because there's a lot of investment in life to create a world like Earth. Earth has tremendous potential. It is so interesting because it's along the third ray, which is the most active and the most difficult planet to live on because it's somewhat primitive and along the third ray and has a lot of negative karma. There's so much going on here that this is a trying place to be. The souls that are here, particularly the ones who are functioning from a spiritual place while they're physically alive, incarnated, are having a terrible time, but it's also a place where you can try to make the most change towards a positive direction. What else can we do if we're trying to win back the planet? Well, you have to move yourself from a place which has been the tendency in over hundreds of years now of high materiality to balance it with spirituality. Most people are just plain too material. And if you are not using a significant amount of your resources for spiritual purposes, you're making a huge mistake, particularly at this time. I'm going to scare you now. For those of, hold on to the chair or wherever you're sitting or whatever, because I'm going to tell you something. If you aren't using at least about 25% of your resources, you can't be really living very spiritually, and I'm going to explain why. If you remember at the beginning of the show, I said that at least about a quarter of a person's, we'll call it, natural rights are being taken away by the dark side in those places where the dark side is strong enough to do so. And that's what we define as a country who is going dark. Okay, if that's true, what does it take to overcome that? Well, in a purely karmic cause and effect issue, it takes some others using at least a quarter of what they have to try to overcome what has been taken away. And part of what they have are material things. So you should be using that much of what you have for those purposes. A lot of people say, well, I thought it was 10% of tithing and 5% of this. I'm telling you, that won't probably work. You got to use more to get to the problems that we have of today. You have to be willing to live with less on a personal level and more giving on a group spiritual conscious level to overcome the darkness that is even existing in today's world. It could get much more, and much worse than that in the next decade or two. So what I'm telling you now is the simpler, easier way of dealing with the issue than what is coming. Now for a lot of you, that sounds scary, particularly in a severe recession, depression, whatever you want to call it, is that what we're experiencing right now. For a lot of people, the idea of saying, oh my God, he's stuck in about 25%. Well, I'm saying that if you really want to be part of the people who are making the real changes, you should consider that. It's a great challenge, I know. Look, for those of you who are just about turning me off right now, I'm going to tell you, I feel for you. I understand that this is not an easy thing to deliberate about or think about. But I'm giving you what I believe to be my truth of what it's going to take to make a difference. And not everybody's going to listen to it. And a lot of people may say, well, that guy's nuts. Okay, that's all right. But I'm saying based upon my opinions and based upon my understanding of the nature of the beast, what we're facing right now, it's going to take huge amounts of every resource we have. Money is just compressed time and energy. And it allows us to do things faster and easier. That's why I'm saying the more you devote in your resources to this endeavor of spiritually winning back the planet, the more likely we're going to succeed. If you aren't willing to do that, chances are failure is going to be what we may be facing. Okay, what else can be done? What other resources, what other ways can we win back our planet spiritually against the darkness that is prevalent and pushing in us? Well, the most important thing might be to let everybody else know that this is happening. Because there's a lot of people who don't believe in darkness, don't believe in evil. All they're just poor folks out there who had poor bringing upbringings. And if we just love them more and teach them more and give them more, you know, if they want a country, let's let them have it. You know, what the heck? It's only a few million or 100 million people that are going to be suffering. Let's just, you know, let everybody be, do whatever they want. Well, that kind of thinking has always sunk humanity. It has always led to a defeatist and destruction of the better parts of what we are. Don't fall into it. Fight it. Let other people know that there really is such a thing as darkness. There are some people who are evil. Luckily, it isn't most of us right now. But a lot of us are following the darkness created by evils, by evil others. And so this is important to get other people to know about, because a lot of people don't believe in it. And you've got, having an open and frank discussion about it is worthwhile. Get the book Lights and Meaning, which I wrote. There's a whole section in there about evil. Read about it. Now you might say, but I've never seen evil. Well, give me a call. I'll open your eyes, I promise. I don't want to do it over the radio right now. Maybe someday I will. I'm coming closer. But I think it's important that everybody has that. Everybody has that opportunity to know that it really exists. If they don't, then it's easier to fall prey to it. On the other side, don't think that everybody is evil or large numbers of people are evil around us. Then you develop a kind of paranoid model. That paranoid model can be extremely destructive, maybe even more so than just being ignorant and say, well, there is no such thing as evil. Because to think everybody's evil or a lot of people are evil is to condemn and control and to destroy the freedom and rights of others who may just differ with you. So be careful not to fall into that problem. Don't let that happen to you. Instead, the middle path. Instead, the place where you can say, I allow others to have their freedom of thought, and even the evil ones to some extent. But the point is that they can't act upon it. They can't destroy my rights or the rights of others. They can say what they want, though. And I also recognize that most people are not trying to use power and control as a force to take the liberties and freedoms away from me and other people. That isn't what most people are really trying to do. Evil people are. And people that just follow the evil people are helping to support it, but they aren't necessarily the majority by any stretch. We're the majority. We're just kind of asleep at the switch. So waking up is part of the whole process. Waking up ourselves, waking up our friends, our neighbors, even our enemies. Wake them up and let them know things are not going so well, but we can all work together to make a change. We really can. Tell other people about the show. You know, one of the things that's interesting, I know there's a lot of people listen to the show on a regular basis. That's great. I really appreciate it. Thanks. But how many people have you told about it? It's a weird thing. I think some people are a little afraid to say, gee, I listened to a show about metaphysics and spirituality, which also includes some things about science from this guy who's kind of goofy, but I like him anyway. I mean, let other people know. Not because I need to have a lot of other listeners, but because that's a way to win back the planet. Because this show, while it may not have everything right, it may not be a perfect example of everything that could be done, it's at least helpful. And it has a positive place for itself. Or you wouldn't be listening, I would hope. I hope you're not listening because you think it sucks. And oh, gee, I don't like that show. I think I'll listen to it. That would be kind of a goofy thing. I would be very, it would be a very strange thing to believe in. But tell others. Promote goodness by educating others. Tell others about some of the ideas you have. They may not be as safe a place to be with your, we'll say, associates rather than friends. You might think, oh, they're going to think I'm really goofy if I say this or I talk about it. You know what I do on Friday nights? I listen to this guy on the radio. No, but let others know, because it's important now in order to win back the planet. If we don't do it now, it may be too late. You say, well, I'll get around next year because I'll feel braver. I'll feel a lot safer talking about it next year when people won't think strangely about me as much. They'll know me better, you know. Don't wait. We don't have the time. You don't have the time. The whole world doesn't have the time. We need to be making the changes now because it's such a difficult path ahead of us. I got a few minutes. Let me just talk about that path. The path into greater light is a path of the bold and the fearless. The best way to understand it is this. Our time here in the physical world is extremely short compared to the rest of our life. The rest of our life is going to be in the astral and monastic worlds. Hundreds and hundreds, well over 1,000 years total for most people, will be spent living in the personality shell that we presently exist in. We're going back to our soul. And in that consciousness, we will expand beyond who we are today, or even in the future. But still, the majority of our life is yet to come. Don't be afraid of the short time we're here, of what people think of us, or what kind of harm might be done to us, attacks by evil. That can happen. As you put out yourself more in this great battle, you may become a target. The group I'm a member of, we're a target. I'm serious. I mean, we're really a big target for the dark ones. They're after us. Yeah, I'll talk about it someday. And I'm telling you, and I'm not paranoid. I hope not. But maybe I am and I don't know better. Then you can call me and let me know. But the point is that we have to be bold. We have to be willing to stand up and even get knocked down. Maybe destroyed. Maybe killed. It's all possible. Okay, wait. You get killed here. Oh, gee. I lost 10 or 20 years in my physical life. I only have another 1,000 to live elsewhere. Well, it's almost an insignificant thing. Here's the point that you've got to be really concerned about. This is the place that it's most important to make the changes in. This is the place where evil will take over the world, not those other dimensions of time and space that are much easier to live in, where God is easier to find. It's here where God is so difficult to find. And so many people are in illusion that we have to overcome the problems that we're having. This is the time, and we have it. It's very short time. But don't worry about the consequences if it turns out that your life gets a little more twisted and difficult. Because you're not going to be here very long to even suffer the consequences. Okay, I just want to mention that if you want to email me, you can get me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. Go to our website, agelesswisdom.com. Please, visit us. I'd love you to do that. And if you have any other questions or thoughts, especially about co-service, would you please send us an email or call us? We would love to hear from you because we all here and many other people who are listening to the show want to spiritually win back our planet as soon as we can and do what we can when we can. Hopefully you're hearing my message tonight. Let's work together to make a difference. Okay, well, we're out of time for right now. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life.